What would you say you do here?
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
It's been a loss, like a week of loss, I feel like. What do you think?
Like when, what, yeah, I know what you're going to talk about first, but yeah, a few people, three people?
Yeah, maybe.
The most historically significant, and it's kind of a big deal.
It is the last survivor from the attack on Pearl Harbor, specifically the USS Arizona.
Passed away today, I think.
Are now 19 survivors left alive of that survived the attack on Pearl Harbor.
And this was the last.
This was the last sailor that was the last survivor on the USS Arizona.
Which in the Arizona is the one that's sunken below level and you can
almost completely. Like there's a little bit sticking up.
Yeah, and that's where the monument is.
Yes.
That you went to.
Yes. It was... I didn't see the completed 9/11 memorial, but it was a pretty somber occasion and kind of ruined the rest of my day, which I knew that
I understand that.
But I was glad that the one day I was in Hawaii for 20 or 21 days, and the one day that was cloudy and funky and overcast and it was real windy and it only got to like 68 degrees. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds pleasant. But when it's 90% humidity, 68 degrees is like and windy is like standing inside of a swamp cooler. It was gross. And that was the day that I went to Pearl Harbor and saw the Pearl Harbor Museum.
Now,
and
how many people? It's a ferry that takes you over, right?
Yeah,
like
yeah,
one ferry at a time.
Yeah,
is that true?
It's all yes. It's,
or they have two ferries that go back and forth, and they.
They have two ferries that go back and forth. Maybe. I can't remember.
Dumb details now, but about how many people are on this ferry?
About 25.
Okay, so.
Maybe.
And that's probably a full load.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And that's how they keep control. They don't let it be overrun. They make sure, and they talk about it, right?
And they talk about it on the way over.
They say, you're not going to be no horse, no ballyhoo.
No buffoonery, please.
Oh, yeah. And they tell you
see
this,
the sign?
Right?
No buffoonery.
Right.
They tell you beforehand that, you know, this you're visiting an active. You're visiting essentially a grave site because not
of
only
military
you,
fallen military
exactly.
Personnel,
and they just say refrain from photography. You are allowed to take rubbings if you have family members that were you know killed in the attack or that are interred here. You're allowed to take you know,
but
like,
so you,
like
you can if you don't have that connection. Is that true?
Correct.
Okay.
And I
did they need proof?
They didn't really ask for proof.
I'm not
you
saying.
Kinda,
I
think
I know
you
I'm asking dumb
tell.
Questions. I apologize for all these questions.
They didn't ask for proof.
They
no,
just wanted
no.
to be
and
respectful.
Just, you know, be respectful. And mm-hmm. I saw when I went there. My God, two very very powerful things. One, right in the center, like because you walk inside. I don't know if you've ever seen what it looks like. It's kind of shaped like a canoe,
right?
Like a really big canoe.
It's white and it's kind of curved up, gentle curve
yeah.
on the ends, bigger
well,
on the ends, and in the
yes.
middle, sitting there.
And
it's all enclosed, is that right? But there's windows, or
there's
can you look
windows,
out the end of it? Or
there's windows looking out, and,
okay.
But there's the dock at one end that
okay.
you enter, and then you can walk all around. They've got a few pictures of the attack and things like that.
Uh-huh.
But in the center of the floor is actually glass and a view. Or I think it's glass. Yeah, it's like a viewing platform that you can see down into wreckage.
Mm.
And then there's a little video that's playing on a screen.
So this glass or plexiglass is below the water level, so it's clear. I mean, it's not like that splashing
I'm
water
to remember
where
if it
you
was
can't
glass.
Really.
I can't remember
you know
if,
what I'm
it,
saying?
If it was glass or
like
if it was actually
submerged,
exposed
you could see.
Water. But you
okay.
could see down
could
into
see
it.
It.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of sunlight in there, so that you don't have glare.
Are there on the
it's
end
also
of it
only a few feet below the surface.
So you can look. Can you look out? I mean, there's like portal or windows, but can you look out the end of it and see out at Hawaii and stuff? You know what I mean? Is there like a...
From the entrance, yes. The other okay. end the other end of it is a giant white marble wall with all the names
all
of
the
everybody
names.
That
okay.
died.
So
and then there
and
was... When I was there, I think there were two or three blank spaces for the people because anybody who survived that attack has the right to have their remains interred there.
Is it on
after
the...
They, when they do die.
Of the whole... Pearl Harbor attack or
no,
the USS
just
Arizona?
USS Arizona.
So that guy is the last one. He's going to now,
yeah.
that's now my, well, I saw, got chills right now. Just
yeah.
Like, that's it. He's going to be up there now.
And just 3 years ago, there were three, I think it was three spots.
Okay.
You could see where they knew how many people were on there and how many died. And you saw all the ones that survived. And there's not a single person who wanted to be that hasn't been interred there. And not so Lieutenant Commander, you know, retired from U.S. Navy, Luke Hunter.
Is the guy.
Is the gentleman passed who passed away. He was 100. Was it 103?
He had to be 100 and something.
Yeah.
Because that's, if you do the math.
I think it was 103.
If you're like 17 years old, let's say, when you went into World War II, which I think you could. Could you not be 17 when you volunteered?
Oh, all those guys lied.
But could you be 17? I'm saying legally.
I don't think legally, no.
Okay.
He was 102.
But it, okay, but if you were 17 back in 1941, and you do the math, and you say, you're going to be over 100 years old now.
Right.
So that's yep. Even the youngest ones. You're going to be over 100, I think. I'll let someone else do the math, but I believe that's the case. So
I mean, there were reports of people as young as like 13 and 14 lying about their age and joining them. Right. And they found out later on, but they'd already been in combat for 3 or 4 years. And they didn't kick them out.
Mm-hmm.
But I read up on Lieutenant Commander Conter, and he was a fucking badass.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did he survive the attack on Pearl Harbor, he changed his rating after Pearl Harbor and flew PBYs.
What do you mean? He just did it?
Like, well, he changed his... He elected because he survived and was awarded a whole... He was burned to shit. And he healed up after like 6 months. He helped... He was one of the handful that survived that were in good enough shape to help get people off the ship as it's sinking.
But he was still burned up.
But he was still burned up and injured and whatnot. And he had a full recovery.
Jesus.
After about a year and, you know, still in. And they're like, well, you're good to go. You're not medically. And we're in the middle of a war.
Right.
And he had scored high on his aptitude tests. And he said, I want to fly. I want to fly planes. So he flew PBYs. I'm assuming you're familiar with when I say PBY.
Flying boat, whatever.
Yeah, the big Catalinas.
Thing. Big thing.
Big fucking thing.
Yeah.
And his PBY was shot down over Papua New Guinea.
Of course it was.
And pulled those guys, every single person on that plane survived.
Mm-hmm. Were they prisoners?
Swam to an island.
Oh, okay.
No, swam off to an island and then got picked up by the Navy and then was in the Navy until like 1957.
Wow.
And was part of the Black Cats. They did nighttime raids.
Okay.
That's what he did
flying
in the Pacific.
Raids.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a bad motherfucker.
As they say, as you get old, whatever, you gotta up the adrenaline, right? So you're just gonna go in there. Hey, I can do nighttime raids now?
How do I?
Got it.
Oh, you mean I can fly at night?
Yeah. With no lights
with
and
no
shit?
No lights?
Over the water when it's dark as fuck?
Yeah, exactly.
Count me in.
With no radar, because the radar was too fucking big to be on planes back then, that point.
Right.
But not only that.
Plus, it's early technology and stuff, yeah.
Right, so, and it was, you know, as we know, early technology is always big. It's pre-microprocessor, so it's all tubes and
whatnot. That's why horsepower was actually the size of a horse.
Yes. So, this bad, 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 bad motherfucker, not only... They survived the attack on Pearl Harbor, and specifically the USS Arizona, where almost everybody died. Then he goes off, and a couple years later, it is flying night raids and gets shot down, manages to save all of his men that's on the flying boat, get to, you know, a safe spit of land that they spent like a week on.
Gets picked up.
Got picked
and
up.
And now he's flying the operation. What is it called?
They were called the Black Cats.
It was
specifically PBYs that did, it was a whole squadron of PBYs that did nighttime raids.
Probably painted black and shit too, so you couldn't see the motherfucker.
Most likely. And flying at night, blind, doing star navigation.
I understand. He was such a thrill seeker. He was quite often caught running with scissors as well.
Probably,
He just ran with scissors.
He ran with scissors in each hand. That's how much of a bad son of a bitch he was. So
I'm not making a lie of this at all. This is really,
no.
This is a piece of fucking American history.
And he's
now.
He's an icon. He's a man that I would have loved to have met.
Yeah.
Like
if you were a performer, like if I were a performer, unlike we're talking about it now, but if I were in a band. Or even a comedian, I think I would probably spend like 20 or 30 seconds at least in the beginning of the show and say, just want to point this out, people. In case you were not aware, we just lost the last survivor of the USS Arizona under the attack. It just happened this month or this last week. I'd probably say that. I want to go into a big dissertation, but I just want everybody to know that.
Yeah.
You know?
It is pretty incredible that not only that he fucking survived all of that. But he also went on to develop a training program for pilots. It's called SERE, S-E-R-E, and it's like I can't. It has to do with emergency readiness, but what it is like teaching them how to watch out for sharks, how to fight off sharks. You get shot down in shark infested waters. How not to panic. How to manage your stress and things like that. He developed this program.
He may be the guy that coined or came up with the technique of holding the knife in your mouth when you you dive in.
He did that on the day Pearl Harbor was attacked.
He put
a big Bowie
knife in there.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a tragic loss, but what an incredible life. I read a couple articles on him, and everybody was like, man, he was so sweet to just animals and kids, and just would stand up for anybody if they felt like they were,
Remember where he was from, where he lived?
Oh, he was from Wisconsin, and then originally, then when he was an early teen, his folks moved to Denver, or so somewhere in Colorado.
So, but I wonder where he lived after the war.
Valley, California.
California, that's where he passed. Okay.
So, and it is another interesting fact, as I mentioned, that there wasn't a single one of the survivors of the USS Arizona that didn't have their remains interred. Some of his ashes will be interred there at the USS Arizona, but some of them will also be in California next to his wife, because his wife passed away about 20 years ago.
It's interesting how some people that were in whatever war will always make sure they have a hat or they remember something. Like, you'll know they're a veteran. And you see them a lot, you know, and now most of the people that are alive now, or a lot of them, are Vietnam veterans.
Correct.
So they were my father's age.
And they're aging out, too, because they're... Yeah. Like, the youngest ones are going to be 72.
My father was 72 when he died, and that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So they're
And your dad was kind of old for a Vietnam veteran, because he was in real early, right?
I don't know.
What year was he born?
38. Would that make sense? If he were 38 and he died in 72 about 10 years ago, I don't want to do that math right now.
That's okay.
I'm saying 32 or 33, but that's not right. I think he was born in 1938, because he was young when World War II came around. He was like, 4, 5, 6 years old, and that would make sense, right? Well, 3 years or 4, somewhere around there. If he was born in 32, he would have been 10 years old. Fuck, I don't know. I should know this. I don't know.
In 1960.
They're giving Biden a hard time for not knowing exactly. I'm telling you, I don't know what date my mother died or my father died. I'm sorry, my father, I do. You want to know why? Because you know this.
He died on 4/20.
Right.
Yeah.
Weed and Hitler. I mean, I'm not going to forget.
Weed and Hitler, yeah.
I'm not going to forget that. So.
I remember
right when he died. It was right before midnight, and I went, thanks, Dad. And my sister goes, what? And he died on 4/20, Jeanette.
Smoke up, Johnny.
Weed, and I think Hitler also fucking was born
Hitler's
on 4/20.
Birthday.
So there's that.
The only reason I remember my grandfather dying, the date that he died, is that I was on the phone with my little brother, because it's his birthday. It was October 1st, 2002.
So you're going to remember that?
Yeah.
Had it not been that, you
when
may
my
not,
dad
may
got
not remember
the call that.
That
our grandfather, that his father died, my grandfather, I was on the phone with my little brother wishing him a happy birthday.
And my
dad made me get off the phone because we had to drive to Tucson.
And I shouldn't listen, but all I do know, it's around St. Patrick's Day is when my mother passed away. Plus or minus a couple days. I don't know. Someone could hold a gun to my head right now and go, was it the 19th or was it the 15th? And I'd go, I have no idea. Just go ahead and shoot me, because I don't know.
You're kind of not caring about those dates. Like, the only that's your mother didn't die on a significant date for you to remember what date it was. You just know that she died.
Yeah, but there are people
the
that know
only significant.
You should know when your this was died and your this. People that are say that you should know all these dates.
Well,
I'm
fuck
going,
those people, Paul.
I don't
like
know
they,
that.
We grieve. We all grieve in different ways.
Right.
You know?
There isn't a day. Yeah. There isn't a day that I forget all this stuff. You know. I just don't. Anyway,
it's
so
also unnecessary to commit that to memory, because then you're celebrating their death. You remember your mother's birthday, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So I was going to say, so there you go, to wrap that up, that's a significant piece of huge American history.
Yeah.
That's a big piece.
Yeah.
Big piece of American history.
Oh, and that training regimen, and program that he put together in
all the black
the, like,
people
mid,
you were saying, the black
50s?
People?
No.
They weren't black people. The black knights?
The black cats? That's not what I'm talking about.
I'm kidding.
I'm going to start making you.
I'm not trying to be an
asshole.
You're
going to need to make notes. You need to get like a handler or something so you remember shit. I'm sure that's why Biden remembers half the shit that he says.
His handler has handlers.
Age. Yeah, his handler has handlers, because his handler is 75 years old. No, the SEER, S-E-R-E, that training regimen or program specifically for pilots.
Right.
that he came up with in like the early 50s, just based off of things that he did. He's survived the USS Arizona, and that was a very hostile situation. You had water that was on fire because you had fuel and oil all over the place.
He experienced a shitload of stuff for a period of time.
In a very short period of time that he survived, and he was telling, like, he like had to talk to his men when the PBY got shot out of the sky.
Mm-hmm.
That he's like, look, we got to abandon this thing. You know, we're not staying near this because we can't.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, there's sharks around here. Yeah, there's sharks all over the ocean. It's going to be fine. You can't panic.
So they learned how to fight them off.
And he learned not only that, but like how to manage your stress through breathing and this and that and the other. That program is still in effect in the United States military.
Wow.
Still. Mm-hmm. From like the mid-50s, mm-hmm. which is incredible. So that's he's an incredible, incredible man. It's a great loss, but man, what an incredible life.
Again, can you imagine?
Because he retired like 1957,
so
I think.
So the things that he lived through Pearl Harbor, which is a big way to open up your adult life, or even your teenage, late year, whatever it was, all the way through all these other events that we're talking, you know, through the going to the moon, the space shuttle, and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And space shuttle blowing up a bunch, and whatever else.
Dude could have been driving a Tesla earlier this year.
He could have been. Think probably about was that. The kind of guy. He probably had a Tesla. Hey,
I did.
I need to get one of those Teslas.
Or he drove an old Willys things. Jeep because I like the suspension.
One of the two. Yeah, it'd be easy.
It was one or the other.
The new cars. We know I can get that thing.
I don't trust
no matter
what a car that I can't get in a crate and assemble in 2 hours. Like that.
one of the two he had. He may have had both.
And then
maybe he embraced new technology, but he loved the old stuff too. Maybe.
Oh, I hope so. My grandfather was like that. Like he's like, if I didn't like new technology, I would still be using manual tools instead of falling in love with air tools. Like he thought the air tools were the greatest thing in the world, and then cordless drills.
Right.
He had a cordless
was
drill.
Was he an early adopter or late? Like he got in the game late with all these things, though.
No, when he was my grandfather was stationed in the Philippines post World War II for I think a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and doing cleanup basically. And building runways or rebuilding runways, mm-hmm. building the railroads for supply, stuff like that, to bring the Philippines back from the brink of total collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And he begged and pleaded and practically stole an air compressor and air tools for them so they could fix all their heavy equipment that they were using, like their big heavy equipment, because manual tools just take too long to fix stuff. And you're running 24/7. For months at a time, shit's just going to wear out and break. And they had
plus it really. If you're young, you can latch, but it fucks you up like repetitive banging hammers. And
absolutely,
you know what I'm saying? It really it's hard on your joints. But you're younger, so you don't really care as much. But what the fuck? But it's still hard on your body,
right?
Really hard on your body.
And so he embraced it early on. And then as soon as cordless like battery driven like drills were a mm-hmm. thing, like say early 90s, where they were actually pretty useful instead of you had 5 minutes of battery time.
Yeah, there was a point there where they all sucked and nobody, same thing. It's bullshit, fucking electric battery powered fucking things. And now they're
commonplace and they're incredible.
You can't go to a job site where there's not full of battery operated equipment. Full of it.
And my grandfather's an early adopter of that stuff too. He's like, why would I plug stuff in when I don't need to? This is so much easier.
Right.
So anyhow.
And we've also lost.
We also lost Louis Gossett Jr.
Yes, we did.
Wow.
That was kind of sad. I mean, he
hadn't been in a movie in 15 years at minimum, probably. I don't know.
For those of you who don't remember, but, you know, one of the big movies, he had kind of a breakout movie. He's in a lot of stuff, but it was a big deal when he was in Officer and a Gentleman. And apparently he was the only black guy to try out for that role. I think it's what I read or saw, Joe.
That he...
He was the only black guy as a drill sergeant or whatever the fuck he was.
In Officer
and a Gentleman to try out for that.
Huh.
Or someone, like, he wanted... There was a little story where he wanted to, but they said you shouldn't do that, or somebody encouraged him, or everybody discouraged him, or something. Where it's kind of a fluke, but once he tried out, he went, "Oh, you're gonna be this fucking drill sergeant.
You
fucking
will be
basic
yeah.
training Navy pilot aviation
officer." It was OTC, wasn't it?
Officer and a Gentleman. Did I say that?
Yeah, no, officer. No, it's officer training.
Oh, officer training.
Core
class.
Not OTC.
Officer training. Wow. Or is it OTS? It's not OTS. I think it's OTC. Please look up the officer training.
No, I'm not going to do it. Past it.
Okay.
Let's remember the fact that let's not all, none of us forget that he was in Jaws 3D.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh. Iron Eagle that we were talking about.
Yeah,
how
no,
funny,
Iron Eagle.
Kind of funny. It was a fun movie. It was kind of cool, but it was so unrealistic. And the special effects weren't primo.
They were pretty fucking awful.
Right.
But Iron Eagle and the subsequent, like, the sequels, I watched as a kid.
I'm not sure I watched the sequels.
Yeah. Iron Eagle 2 was a similar kind of, similar
was he,
to the
was he in that
the
also?
One. Yeah.
Okay.
And it was similar to the, similar to the first one, similar story.
Mm-hmm.
But then Iron Eagle 3 was it Aces, I think is what it was called. It took place in Mexico. And okay. It was all like World War II era warbirds that they were going up against down there because that's all the Mexican like cartels or whatever organized crime that was going on.
So is that
what
they're fighting crime in Mexico?
Basically, yeah.
Okay. With F-16s?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
No. Hold on. Let me remember. U.S. Soviet strike forces assemble to wipe out a nuclear base in an outlaw nation that plans to take the world hostage. That's Iron Eagle 2.
Yep.
That's the where you have the U.S. and Soviet joint thing because it was during Glasnost.
Yes.
Maybe he wasn't in Iron Eagle 3. I thought for sure he was.
I bet he got too big for his britches and he wanted like way too much money.
Yeah.
Went,
yeah, no, he was definitely in Iron Eagle 3. That's right.
Okay. But what was the
Chappie discovers
one?
A drug smuggling scheme at his own air base. It turns out the lives of some village people in Peru are at stake. It was Peru. Okay. And decides to fly there with ancient airplanes and friends to free them.
Also,
oh,
they fly down
God.
There with prop
yeah,
airplanes.
That's what it was.
In other words, he's on his own. They're not doing. He's like retired from the military, so they're not going to go get military.
Right.
But they got some old like P-51s and shit.
Yeah. P-51s, there's this old Japanese pilot who's now like an American citizen that he,
okay.
They like steal a Japanese Zero, for, like I think it was a Zero.
Okay.
And because I just remember the Japanese flag being on the plane and him flying, and everybody had like their white scarves and shit. It's not a good
not
movie.
Seen this, I have not seen this movie.
I feel bad because Louis Gossett Jr. is such a great actor.
Oh, there's a big drug habit he had late in life. Read that part about. That's why he was like, "What's Louis Gossett doing?" I think he
fucking dying of a heart attack.
Yeah, I think he almost. No. But then he got back. He got cleaned up, and his last handful of years were okay. Like if you read his drug addiction, it was like for 10 years or something. Like it's like he's not dead. Well, where is he? And I think it was. I don't think it was alcohol. I think it was.
You think he had a drug overdose?
It was heroin
like,
or
like
meth or something.
Oh my God!
Well, you have to look it up. You should come right up. Joe's looking.
I'm not looking. I was looking through all the trying to remember what other movies he was in because I know he was in a bunch of movies that I like.
He was.
Oh my God! They made a fourth Iron Eagle in 1995. I didn't know that.
Oh, you know what? He played Anwar Sadat. You know,
yes,
Sadat was the president, I guess, of Egypt.
Egypt. Yeah.
I don't know if he's the president or prime. I think it was president. I think it's President Anwar Sadat. I was alive when all that was between Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat. This is the Israeli president, I believe, Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat. And Jimmy Carter brokered a deal for them to not bomb each other all the time.
Was that the Camp David Accords?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's why. Yeah. I was technically
that's how old I am.
Alive.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I was even potty
were
trained by
embryo?
Then.
You
like,
were beyond embryo.
I was born in 81.
Okay.
I don't think I was alive because when I was born, Reagan was president.
Oh yeah, no, this is 76 through 80. That was one of the biggest accomplishments. But like everything in the Middle East, it eventually implodes again.
Of course,
but that did last for a while. It was, and then Anwar Sadat was fucking assassinated. I remember when he was in some kind of a military vehicle on doing they were in a parade or something like that, and someone blew his head off.
See, and I didn't even know that.
I think I remember seeing that in the news, and like you could almost see his head getting blown off. I think.
Oh my God,
Jesus! I don't need to see that. And I was fewer than 18 years old.
Yeah. So Louis Gossett Jr. struggled with debilitating illness during the 90s and early 2000s, having been given a prognosis of 6 months to live from a doctor at one point. In 2001, he learned much of his illness was due to toxic mold in his Malibu home. In 2010...
I was going to say, which part of your body is your Malibu home? Is that by your
oh, like, my God.
Where in yours your Malibu
anatomically,
home?
Where's your Malibu home where you would grow mold?
Say there was mold
it's
in his Malibu home.
It's directly above Uranus.
Okay, so he had mold in his Malibu home.
Yeah, and disease is caught in an early stage. He had prostate cancer in 2010. He was hospitalized in late December 2020.
And then
with,
he got hooked on
COVID-19.
Hydrocodone or something. Oh, really? See, I saw. I swear
Gossett died at a
up.
Rehabilitation center in Santa Monica, California, March 29th, 2024, at the age of 87. No cause of death was given.
Okay, I may be making this up, but I swear I saw a thing where it said he had a drug problem, but I don't remember mold and whatever else they just said. Mold and something else?
Maybe mold and then prostate cancer, and then he had COVID in 2020, but there's nothing else mentioned about that.
Gosh, maybe I completely dreamed that.
I like the idea of Louis Gossett Jr. being just a straight-up heroin addict to the end, because he died in a rehab center, but it doesn't say what kind of rehabilitation it was. It could be he broke his hip and was in there for rehab. It could be,
but
the
I remember
fact
though,
that
it's like
PCP.
Like, I don't know what he was doing for a number of years though, and he had a drug thing. But then he came back, and he did. Oh, and then after he came back, he had a small role in this other fucking movie or something. I thought this was, man. I could be just
you
totally
could be making,
making
this
shit
up. Yeah.
Anyway, so wasn't there somebody else we lost?
I can't remember now.
I thought there was a third person.
And for those of you that don't know, and this goes back, folks. Paul and I have a running joke for almost a decade now the Dana Carvey Show from the 90s.
Right.
Which only ran for barely a season. Like, it was like 9 episodes.
It's pretty funny,
though. It had some brilliant shit. One of them was it Tom Brokaw?
Yeah.
It was Dana Carvey playing Tom Brokaw.
And I think Stephen Colbert was one of the writers.
Yeah, no, Stephen Colbert was on the show and a writer. Okay. Louis C.K. was a writer.
Okay.
Of
course, Dana Carvey was also a writer.
Oh, my God. Who else was on there?
I don't know.
There's a whole bunch of people that were... Oh, Steve Carell.
Oh,
Steve
yeah.
Steve Carell's on it. Ant was a writer.
Do you remember what network it was? Like, no. Why didn't it make it?
Same network. It didn't make it because it was way too subversive. They did white supremacists or skinheads.
From Maine.
Remember
that
skinheads
was,
from Maine?
That was...
Watch Whitland over there. That's a stick for beating on the Negroes. Like, just... fucking hilariously very specific and pointed
dark humor.
Brilliantly dark humor.
Okay.
But they also they kept losing sponsors that would just
they're going
like,
no, we're not
going to
be associated with,
we can't be
with
associated
this.
With this. So they showed the clip. Do you remember the documentary that's on Hulu? I swear I had you watch it.
Of that show?
Yeah. And about all the people that worked on that show that are now huge names.
Yeah.
And that the last like 5 episodes, 6 episodes, they got like an episode sponsor like back in the '50s, like the Burma Shave, the Burma Shave Happy Fun Time Show with Steve blah blah blah, like you
and
know how
like
they were
on the news or whatever. Remember it was like CBS was like Alcoa, the aluminum company.
Yes,
they were going to lose that big contract because they were going after. Senator, what's his name for the Senator McCarthy,
right?
And they're like, "Oh my God!" And the military with aluminum, and like we can't. There was a big
brouhaha. It was a big brouhaha, and then you're not supposed to sponsor the news anyway. That was also something that the Congress
they were wrestling with all that. Which
so
gone now.
They did the so they're like part of the problem was they kept moving around our time slot, and I was like, okay, that makes sense. That's usually like when a show's really successful.
Mm-hmm.
And then you change the time slot, that means its ratings are starting to go to shit. And then usually the next thing that happens is it's canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So they move their time slot, and they put us right after Home Improvement. Super family-oriented show, real wholesome. And I watched Home Improvement. I grew up watching Home Improvement. It used to be one of my favorite shows.
It's not real sexy adult humor by
any
means.
It's not at all.
Yeah.
And so,
it did have the sexy chick that was the assistant.
Oh, it started off. Pamela Anderson was the first one.
Oh, was she?
Yeah,
forgot
Pamela Anderson
that.
Was the first one, and then
they got a second.
They got
blonde.
The second Heidi, whatever. No, she was redhead.
Actually, she was.
Yeah,
right.
She was redhead.
Yeah. But like short, but, tight jeans.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, big boobs
like
poked out.
Like a tool belt,
Binford tool shirt that was white and way too small.
And that's why a lot of people watched it,
of course.
So there you go.
Heidi, the tool girl,
right?
So.
Anyway, it was on after that.
It was on after that, and they're like, you have to understand, that audience would not be our demographic, but that's the audience that stuck around. They call it a lead-in audience, the audience that's still watching the channel because they don't have anything else to watch.
Like, what's on next?
They're like, hey, the Dana Carvey Show.
I'm
going to
go either mow the lawn or have dinner or watch this show.
The Dana Carvey Show sounds nice. the church lady. Oh, yeah.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's funny. And they watched that, and but they showed like a commercial, like a preview. Tonight on a very special home improvement, what every parent fears. And you have like the one of the kids, and I remember this episode. It's like, I don't want to die, Dad. I don't want to die, because they thought he might have had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I don't want to. It's okay, son. We're going to face this ahead. And he hugs his son, kisses him on the forehead. And then after that, on an all new Dana Carvey show sponsored by Dr. Pepper. And then they show like some crazy subversive humor, like this character pimps from Pimp Town or some crazy shit.
Right.
And they showed that to, you know, former cast members of the Dana Carvey show, and they all just kind of lose their shit. They're like, that's why we got canceled. Because they're like, they got the cancer kid, and then we got the sponsored by Dr. Pepper, the Dana Carvey show.
Right.
Oh my God.
So the skit we're talking about, if we can really narrow down. Yeah, Tom Brokaw was gonna go on an extended vacation. Like that was a real thing. Like he goes, I gotta get out of here for a few months or something. Yeah. To Bimini, or he was just gonna check out for
gonna
a while.
Gonna be gone for a bit.
And they went, holy shit. He was anchoring one of the NBC or whatever news.
It was NBC Nightly News.
And that was it. It's like, that's their guy. That's their draw, was Tom Brokaw. And they're like, okay, we got to prep for this. We got to do little news lead-ins in case these certain things happen while you're gone.
Right.
So that's the setup, and you can talk about
that. And so
that.
He's recording these, and you have like a producer, like you can hear, but you can't see, and then you see just Tom Brokaw, Dana Carvey playing Tom Brokaw in the studio. And he's like, Gerald Ford dead today at 86, and I'm gay. Like
It warmed up to
it,
that.
It actually did warm. It's like
it said, I don't know, a major hurricane hits the East Coast,
and Gerald Ford died.
Right, and then okay, and you go, well, how's that going to happen? That's two things to get. Well, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, you're the one who wants to be gone for 3 months.
We have to be ready.
You
got to
plan ahead.
This. Yeah,
to do the normal kind of possible headlines, and then they started tagging in things.
Gerald Ford dead today. Mauled to death by wolves.
Senselessly.
Now can you throw in? Okay, let's record the same thing, but add senselessly. Senselessly mauled to death.
And said, wait a minute, that's out of order. Like senselessly.
No, mauled senselessly.
Mauled senselessly or senselessly mauled by.
That doesn't make much sense, and it's so fucking funny. And then
it was all Gerald Ford. That's what it was. It was all tied around.
It was like, yeah. It's like, Gerald Ford dead today. From cancer or some
shit.
Well,
one of them was chopped up by a propeller. Of an airplane, yeah.
And I'm gay.
He was like reading off a monitor. Like he didn't know what was coming.
Had no idea. Hey, what now?
Wait a minute.
What? That's not. I'm not gay. And the producer's like, hey, you never know what could happen in the future. You go on vacation. You come out as gay. Gerald Ford's mauled to death. And then we're totally unprepared.
Right.
Well, it doesn't seem possible, but I understand.
Like, did you want, like, he was using another example. Like, what do you want so-and-so to come up with? What's another? Dan? You want Dan Rather to have this story
and
not
you? Yeah, do you want Dan Rather
to have you
this?
Come out?
Yeah. Oh, my God. And so that is what...
So now, our joke.
So Friday, 9:30 in the morning, Louis Gossett Jr. is dead and I'm gay, I get from Paul. And it goes back and forth depending on who breaks the news first.
Quite often if Joe is up late or I'm up or vice versa and we hear something, like I told him, like, Louis Gossett, I told you that, right?
Yeah.
But what was another one after? Who knows?
Well, after that was today. You're like the last.
Oh,
you didn't say
I didn't know
gay.
His name.
You didn't say I'm gay.
Yeah,
you
I thought I'm not going to say
that. That's disrespectful.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to get back to it.
If some well-known person dies and it makes the news, it's almost like which one of us is going to know it first and then text the other person and say like who would be right now? Who would be one of the prime people to die in Hollywood? Who would be a famous old fucking person?
Oh,
that
God,
would, that
I
would
don't,
probably die.
I don't even know.
There's all these bets going on, right? There's all these websites that are...
Oh,
like
yes.
Who's gonna, it's
yeah.
all that stuff. Who's
the
gonna
death
be,
pool, which know. Has been going on for a very long time.
Like when what's-his-name from Friends died. I'm sure that one of us probably texted each other.
Oh, God.
Matthew Perry
is dead,
and
I'm
gay.
Gay.
Probably Joe or myself texted each other.
That was a real shock. I may not have done that, because I thought he was on such a redemption arc, because he spent so much time... on so many different drugs that when he would talk, like in the Friends special, the reunion special from a year
and I watched Fools Rush In many times because
such
of Salma Hayek.
She
looks feminine, by the way, for a brunette compared to the one that you thought looked feminine, but that's fine.
You don't think Angie Harmon looks feminine?
if you cut her hair off and take makeup off, she looks like Christopher Reeve.
Oh my God, you're the worst. To me, you're just the fucking
she's
worst.
She's too angular. She's not feminine looking.
Do you know who's? What's going to happen is you're going to die, and I'll be like, Paul Gain is dead today. And I've always knew he was gay. Okay, fine. She has some chiseled features, but she doesn't have like a strong jawline.
She got a cleft chin, for
God's
sake. You're a
fucking cleft chin. I can't believe that. She's so, so pretty.
Is that a cleft, what they call that? Like a butt in your chin?
Yeah, that's butt a chin. Yeah. It is called a cleft. It's not a technical term is butt chin. Okay. It must have been a while since somebody died. I guess.
You're scrolling through all the
texts.
I was
scrolling through, like, so-and-so dead today, and I'm gay. Yeah, I don't know who
like
would
Buzz
be.
Buzz Aldrin's going to be a big one.
Buzz,
he could be dying any moment, because that fucker's old.
Michael Collins, is he dead?
I think he's...
I can't remember.
Like, are all the original Mercury / Apollo... Who's alive? Who's left on the astronaut page of the original, like, the Apollo / Mercury astronauts?
Well, the Mercury 7,
probably all
I
dead.
Think, God, I feel like there's somebody who's still alive.
Alan Shepard, he's dead, right? He's got to be dead.
I don't know. Hold on. Let's see.
Lovell, is he still alive? Did he die?
I think Jim Lovell is still alive.
Okay.
I'm looking at Mercury 7, and all of the Mercury 7 have passed.
Which means...
the last one to go was John Glenn.
So Alan Shepard's dead.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Apollo astronauts. We can look that one up. Who is alive in the Apollo... of the Apollo astronauts? It's got to be these guys that were... Like I should know the last man on the moon in Apollo 17.
Yeah, dude. Alan Shepard died in 1998. What the fuck? How do you not remember that? I have an excuse.
I was downtown in Buckhead listening to Nirvana.
See, and I was 17 and chasing tail. So, like, right. that, like, so. I, okay, fine, fine. I thought for some reason there was one of them was still alive, but I don't know. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I forgot about John Glenn.
They'd be
dying.
Really old, though, like the Apollo.
I'm sorry,
the Mercury.
Yeah.
All right, so what are the, and we should know this, who was the last astronaut on the moon? Apollo 17. But I remember that. I go, you know what? God damn it! I should remember that for a
let's see
trivia, and I don't remember right now. Again, hold a gun to my head. I would never.
Four of America's moonwalkers are still alive: Buzz Aldrin, David Scott, Charlie Duke, and Harrison Schmitt. I did know that Charlie Duke was still alive because do you remember Dr. Schauber?
Yes.
Charlie. Remain friends still to this day. And I guess Charlie was coming through town or something. Him and his family were like on a road trip.
Through Flagstaff
and stopped off, and they had dinner together and kind of caught up.
And
so I saw
cool
a picture on Facebook.
To have dinner.
I would love to meet. I mean, Jesus. I wish I, and see, I part of me thinks that Michael Collins is still alive. Or maybe he died recently because I wanted to go see him. I thought he lived in like New Mexico or something, because I wanted to meet him just to say that I could die happy knowing that I met all three and shook the hand of all three Apollo 11 astronauts.
Yeah, I've not shaken the. I did not shake the hand of any of. Who was the last one on the moon? The last astronaut.
God, I think it might be Charlie Duke.
I don't think that's right. No. I'm going to say no. It's you're going to hear it and you go, oh yeah. The last one to leave their footprint on the moon, if you believe that we did that. Last man on the moon.
Let's see.
I'm not talking now.
Apollo 17 was the last one.
Yep. I'm not talking. Still not talking.
Harrison Schmitt. And he's still alive.
Oh.
He's the last. Yeah.
That was the last. Wow.
Yeah, 1972.
That is not who I thought of. Ow.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah, Apollo, that was.
Harrison Schmitt.
Charlie Duke, Gene Cernan, and Harrison Schmitt. Those guys were, I'm sorry. No, Gene Cernan and Harrison Schmitt, those were the last two to go to the moon. And the last person, like the last human being to set foot on the moon was Harrison Schmitt, if you believe in that sort of thing.
Okay, who was the orbiter dude on Apollo 17? unlucky guy to orbit around in the, I guess, service module. That would be the service module, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ron Evans?
He'd be dead, I guess.
Nope, he's still alive.
Oh, so all the crew of Apollo 17 are still alive?
Yes.
And plus one more, right?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. No. The Wikipedia has their charts all fucked up.
Okay.
Ron Evans died in 1990.
And he was Ken Mattingly was the orbiter?
That was on 17. Apollo 16 was Ken Mattingly. He died last year, October 31st, 2023.
Okay.
Those are all. So what they've got is they've got people who actually set foot on the moon and folks that went to the moon but didn't go.
Right.
Didn't,
the orbiting people.
Yeah, the orbiting people. Michael Collins. Oh, he died in 2021. Okay, yeah, that tracks. Yeah, because I remember now I think about it, because I remember being disappointed. I'm like, man, I should have got my shit together and gone to wherever he was and just shaking his hand and said, I was a little kid the first time I met Neil Armstrong. I was a little bit older when I met Buzz and Neil at the Neil Armstrong Air and Space Museum, and I wanted to just shake your hand and recognize the fact that you went all the way there. And you didn't get to set foot on the moon, but that doesn't make you any less of a cool fucking guy.
I remember this one, a house that my parents lived in Texas before we moved to the other, a little bit bigger house. My sister's and my bathroom was at the very end of the hallway, like the end, not like a door off to the side, like the end door, that was the bathroom. And I remember numerous times, or more than once at least, there was either a docking event or a landing event or a Saturn V going off.
Yeah.
That I had to go to the bathroom, and I'd run the bathroom, probably take an afternoon dump or something, and I would have the door open, and my mother would be in the living room, small living room, by the way, way down there, and she could turn the TV so I could be leaning over on the toilet.
That's so great.
I remember
that
memory going, I got to see it. You know, I got to, because by the way, back then there was no recordings of anything.
No.
Like,
no.
You wanted to see it, and I had to go to the bathroom. So I remember being in there. Seemed like it's forever down the hallway. You could barely see the screen, you know. But I remember that.
My mother,
I don't remember what year that would have been.
We were going to watch the launch that was supposed to happen from Vandenberg. That's twice now in the past month. They've launched SpaceX has launched from Vandenberg,
mm-hmm.
and it's been overcast here.
Mm-hmm.
This last time they delayed it two times, and just did it a delay. It was supposed to be Thursday night. Then it was supposed to be Friday night.
Right.
Then it was supposed to be Saturday. And Saturday was fucking shitty. Super shitty
and
weather.
When did they? They did not.
They went ahead and launched. We couldn't see anything from
here. Launched
because
on Saturday.
They just launched on Saturday.
Wasn't
night.
Erin DePratt or whatever? Wasn't she? I saw a post she made. Like she was.
She said,
they were
hey,
there.
Hey,
or something.
We should be visible. No, she's here in town. Should be visible, guys. Like da da da. Da.
I thought they were actually there. Like there was a picture of Vandenberg, like the entrance to it or something.
Oh, maybe
someone.
Maybe
someone
I
made
missed
a,
that. Oh, okay. I
don't know what day that was, though.
It just reminded me of it because I have that SpaceX app, but it's not notification. It's not owned by SpaceX. And the notifications aren't great.
It's not?
No, and the notifications aren't all that great. So, like, I'll get, like, oh, you have a launch in 24 hours, in 12 hours, and then you don't get a notification from 12 hours.
Here they are letting go of the satellites. Or so, here's the docking taking place. Yeah, like, thanks.
Fucking nothing. Yeah, yeah, that's usually how it happens.
Yeah.
My mom found it funny that I was making plans around that
mm-hmm.
because I said, you guys, I saw once when it was a real clear sky, but it was a little bit too late in the day. Like the sun had already set in California. So, and I was explaining how, because of the curvature of the earth and the sun, setting that the timing.
If it's just twilight, that's what you want.
What you want is twilight. Daytime, we wouldn't be able to see it, most likely.
No.
Nighttime, you can see the fire from it, a little dot.
Like the
and
little
it's
dot
going
moving.
Real fast, way faster than a jet.
And it's like, what's that?
But what happens is you get the contrail coming off of it. You can see, it's not contrails. I know that's not the right term. The plume coming off of it.
And the plume gets bigger and bigger, too, because there's less air pressure.
So I'm explaining that to her.
It gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
I showed her and my stepdad the pictures that Portia took from the last launch that went to Tucson,
mm-hmm.
like 3 weeks ago or something. And she just went out into her street and just looked down the street, and it's like lined up perfectly with it. And she's like, this is so fucking cool.
Yeah,
it was so neat. And I love that she's into that and thinks that that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was just getting a kick out of it. She's like, I love that you still are into this because you sound like it's just a deeper voice. You sound like you taught. It sounds like when you were a kid and talking about the launch sequence, when everything, what Seiko means, what Miko is, what this and this, what all those terms. When the space shuttle was launching, when we lived in Tucson, when you were a little kid.
I wish I remember the launch of Apollo 11. I remember, barely remember, because it was like midnight when they walked on the moon, and my sister was awake. She remembers it, and I was 2 years younger. I was
six.
Yeah,
just turned six.
Because it was July, right?
Yeah, so
just turned six, and she was kind of shaking all over. They're walking on the moon, Paul. They're walking. I don't really remember this because I could not wake up.
Because
I could not get you up. You would not. Shaking you.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I think my sister recalls that. But I don't remember the launch of that. But then we moved. That was when my father was in flight training with Delta. It was only 3 months. And we moved to Texas. Texas was the house at the end of the hallway.
Right.
That I watched all the other. In fact, I did a little report on something. Like you had to, you should, the kid, you're required to do a report. It's one page report on something that happens over the weekend. So I did there was a mission. I can't remember which one it was. It had a hard time getting it docked and turned around to go to the moon. There was some well-known screw up on the.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't get the hatch locked and stuff like that.
15?
I don't remember.
That would have been 71.
But I wrote that. And then Mrs. Blanton, my teacher, said, that's really good. And like it was kind of informed. Like she goes, and I remember she took me around to read this in front of other classes. That I didn't even know who these people were.
Oh, shit.
Like, she drugged me around from to class. I'm going, what?
That sounds like you spent maybe a couple $1,000s on that one event in therapy. Like, Jesus Christ.
Who are these people? I'm like, she's making me read this.
You're like this 10-year-old?
Yeah.
Maybe. Not even. No.
No.
Because the Apollo missions, even though there were the after the landing, because there was Apollo 11, there was Apollo 12, Apollo 13, we all know the story. They didn't land. And then 14, 15, 16, 17.
It was like second grade.
69 to 72.
What would second grade be? How old would you be in second grade?
Seven.
I was about 7 years old, I guess. And I was drug around from class to class.
That's so fucking funny.
Now, I think you're right. That's the source of half of my money in therapy, at least. And Mrs. Blanton, here's what's gross about
Mrs. It came from your teacher. Not your mom. No, my fucking teacher.
Mrs. Blanton had a weird odor.
I love that you remember that. Back to second
You remember
grade.
Odors. Remember, that's one of the...
No, it's one of the... It's definitely...
But she smoked a lot. Not in class. This is not... You couldn't smoke in class. This in Texas.
I mean,
this
is Texas.
You can shoot your gun and smoke in class.
Yeah.
And drinking whiskey.
Didn't have roof on the school because everybody was shooting their guns off in class. I just see you dressed as a cowboy going to second grade.
Yeah, no.
Hey, y'all.
Bedford, Texas, which is hilarious. It's like Bedrock. This is Bedford, Texas.
Oh my God!
It's still. I would love to know if that school is still there. I'm sure it's been torn down. Stonegate Elementary School.
Let's Google it. Let's
see if it's still there.
I can tell you all of the elementary schools I went to are still around, including Haywood.
So anyway, Miss Blanton said, "Hey, could you stay after school or whatever?" She was going to give me a few bucks and clean out the front seats of my car or the front of my car. Dude, I'm not making this up. I'm 99% sure this is exactly accurate. The floorboard, mostly in the passenger floorboard, in the front seat, where your feet would go, floorboard, was many inches deep of cigarette butts.
That's fucking disgusting.
It wasn't just a little bit. I'm talking, I cleaned all that shit out. And the inside of her, she was IFR driving around, instrument flight rules. Was covered.
This is where Trace has now pissed himself laughing.
Right.
You said
cigarette smoke inside of the windows. I'm not making this shit up. It was disgusting. And she was also huge, and her clothes smelled, and it was... Anyway, that was Mrs. Blanton. She drugged me around and made me read all about the Apollo,
and it was the,
whatever, 15.
But the odor was cigarette smoke?
I don't know what else is going on.
If you smell cigarette smoke, does that remind you of Mrs. Blanton?
Not when it's going to now, I guess. Anyway, go ahead.
Stonegate Elementary School in Bedford, Texas, on Bedford Road is still very much in existence.
Wow.
Yeah. I can tell you that the Porsche actually lives real close to...
I wonder if it still has like the same building.
It probably is.
I remember going back there like when I was in high school. Like I moved away and I visited some friends. So I'm going to go walk through like you can't really do it anymore now. But... If you were doing this before, where the ceilings are like, they're so low. It's like, oh, my God.
You don't realize it until you go back as an adult.
Yeah. Like, Jesus. See, you could touch the ceiling and stuff. They were for little kids.
I went to one of my trips down to Tucson. I went to I went there twice. Once I went there with Portia just to show her, hey, this is where I went to elementary school. Like, you know, my tooth is chipped. That concrete slab back there in the playground, right. We used to throw sand on it and run and slide on it. Slip, boom, bang.
I tell you like right now, grade. Unless they've changed the parking lot, I could tell you exactly the parking spot where I cleaned Mrs. Blanton's car out.
So strange.
And also,
did she molest you?
No.
Are you sure?
No, but I don't think she did.
Okay.
Yeah. But I do know that in that same parking lot, that's where my father and I used to fly U-Control. There's a P-40.
Like RC planes or yeah,
the ones
on U-Control
on the string, yeah, on the Cox 049 engine, and you'd fly around with it. You can go up and down with
it's called
a U-Control.
U-Control, okay.
Right, but yeah. It was a, oh my God, what's a P-40 called?
I don't know. Do I have to Google that too? Jamie, look that shit up.
Trace, a P-40 something Hawk?
Warhawk.
Thank you. Warhawk.
Oh yeah, I know that plane. I knew that.
It looked kind of like a fat Spitfire.
Yes, kind of. Yes, like a thick boy version of a Spitfire.
Right. Anyway, I remember going. There's a parking lot area there that was just big enough to fly that thing, and my father and I would go there on weekends when there was no one in the parking lot and fly that thing around.
The front parking lot.
Let me look at that. This is gonna be. I have not looked at this. Let me check it out. Or you can throw it up on the screen. Whatever you want to do.
Here.
Got to look closer to that.
Yeah, the elementary school that I went to in Tucson is still there. Looks exactly the same. It looks like they painted, like, whatever was painted is mostly brick, but they painted it. They just kept the same color. It looks identical. And Portia and I went there one time because I just pulled in the parking lot because it was after hours or it was a weekend or something, so we didn't look too weird. Getting and got out, and I said, my first grade class planted this swirl cactus. And they said, but when we graduated high school in 1999, it would be about a foot tall, and it was like 8 inches tall in 1987.
Okay, here's what's weird. I gotta come over and show you. I'm sorry.
Okay.
No one gives a flying fuck about this, but I gotta show you this.
Paul has to show me this. What is it? He's showing me the parking lot.
Door you go in, the principal's office, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But that's where I think. Oh, that's where Mrs. Blant was.
That's the spot. No, holy shit,
no,
folks.
No, it's not. Because this is a sidewalk. There was spot. This looks like a sidewalk, right?
Yeah.
It looks like there was a that would be the corner where she.
That looks like where it's bus parking now. Is what I think. That's what those hash marks are. Maybe. So, maybe.
There are hash marks. Okay. But this car just parked this whole row.
Oh my
and
God.
She was parked here. That's where I cleaned out all the cigarette butts, and then but it looks like this would be the where the U-Control model was. But this looks like I don't think there was grass there. It was in this general area.
Interesting.
It could have been right there, but was like right here.
I love this shit.
This is the cafeteria. I remember going in. This is where we'd have cafeteria.
Where you would go in and have cafeteria? Yes, they cafeteria. Do things differently in Texas, man. We're gonna have ourselves a.
That's when you had actually normal cafeteria women cooking normal cafeteria food.
And yeah.
You had a tray of normal.
No, I grew up with that too. Until I moved, I had that until all the way until I moved to Kingman. And Kingman,
can you hear me?
When I moved to Kingman, this was in what, like late 1997.
Right.
And I'm like, I go to lunch for the first time. I'm like, first off, I only have 35 minutes for lunch. That's a problem with fucking 1,400 students.
Right.
Now, granted, they staggered that, but they only had, I think they only had two lunches, lunch A or lunch B.
And by the way, in that same cafeteria hall, like that end was the lunch ladies, like if this were it right now, right? You get in line and go there and then sit down here. On this end is the auditorium.
Right.
They would set up chairs there and it'd be the stage. It's the same big building.
Yeah.
And they would announce what's going to be for lunch on the morning announcements.
Yeah. Right after the Pledge of Allegiance.
Hot dogs, applesauce, and I don't know what the fuck.
It's pizza day. With a rectangular pizza that was not good.
Oh,
it wasn't horrible.
Did you ever have where they had either competition or someone got the best grades that week, got to read off the menu for the...
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I forgot all about that. Do you remember
that's total Americana. Now, I only experienced that. I mean, I experienced... So I went to three different elementary schools.
Mm-hmm.
Four, if you count, being bussed over to the... I was in... You people can Google it. It's now kind of it was such a bad program that damaged a whole generation of kids that there's a documentary about it on HBO. It's called GATE, the GATE program.
Okay.
Gifted and Talented Education. Mm-hmm. It's where they took quote unquote the smart kids, like gifted kids, and put them into another school. In some districts, it was just a class.
That helped you not get beat up at all.
Right. in some districts, you know, across the country, this is a nationwide program.
Mm-hmm.
In some districts, it was just like all day Friday, you went to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you didn't have your regular classes on Friday, you went to that, and it was the gifted kids.
Okay.
Where in Tucson, they had one school that was dedicated to it, and everybody, or all the elementary kids that were in the GATE program got bussed
school.
Over there. Lineweaver Elementary School, which
Line
is kind
Weaver.
Of... Yeah, which is not to be confused with Dreamweaver.
Mm-hmm.
No, so now nowadays, and this is really just in recent history, like recent as in the past couple months, that I stumbled upon this documentary. I watched it, and there's all these child psychologists like that are more... like now 40 years later that are like, yeah, those kids should not have been in that kind of a program. What they should have been in, because it was like, it was kind of like Montessori style, like where we just like let's play to their strengths and hopefully their weaknesses will catch up later.
Okay.
Which is wrong. It's an ass backwards way of
okay
of teaching kids now, knowing that.
So what they like, should have done,
talked
is...
to Janelle Andreka about this several years ago, because okay. She has a master's in special ed, like she fucking knows her shit.
Yeah.
And when I told her I was in the GATE program when I was a kid, like for a year, mm-hmm. and she's like, "Oh man, that explains a lot." I'm like, "A lot about what?" She goes, "Well, I mean,
it's opposite of what they should have been
doing."
Yeah,
and then
blah,
she explained
blah, blah.
That to me, and also like a lot of the strong majority of those kids that were in those programs should have been screened for high functioning autism.
Oh, okay.
And Asperger's and various spectrum disorders. Because they were able to hyper-focus on certain things
and not
focus on
stuff.
Anything else. And they kind of just said, oh, well, they're really smart, so let's throw them all together. What that ended up doing was just fucking damaging those kids. And then a lot of them got pulled out of regular studies, so then they fell behind in other stuff. But they're like,
Gate
oh.
equals hate.
No shit. But the fucking documentary messed me up, man. It's like a 2.5 hour long. It's like 2 episodes.
Wow.
Oh my God! I'm like, God damn it!
So what? I'm just curious.
So
what should
anybody,
they have done? Then
like, what they
more
should
or less?
Have, well, the and
or can you explain it? In
I can kind of explain
two
it. So well, no. What they should have done is not put those kids, separate them from the rest of the kids.
Just not separate.
What
them
they should not separate them at all.
Okay.
What they should have done. And what eventually happened was the screening process has got so much easier mm-hmm. and more precise when it came to spectrum disorders
mm-hmm.
25 years later. Well, that's why, and people are like, why is there so many kids with spectrum disorders or autism and Asperger's?
And there weren't when I was young.
And there weren't when I was young. Well, it's because they couldn't diagnose it. It's like, right. they, you know, how come there was no cancer in the 1800s? Because they couldn't fucking diagnose it.
Right.
Diagnose it. The fucking microscope has right. barely been invented, you know?
Right.
So... you know, a lot of people think that autism is there's a reason why it's called there's a spectrum, and it's like low. There's very, very low functioning, which would be like nonverbal, da 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 da. You know, so on and so forth, all the way up to when you know what to look for. You're like, ooh, shit, like that's kind of
right.
Okay,
right,
and that's super high functioning. These are people that have jobs, degrees, raise kids, get married, da da da. Da but certain areas they just lack an ability to communicate. Certain things or interact with people in a certain way.
But some of these people are really sharp in some areas. Like they may literally put them in an underground job with a government that tracks this or does that, where they're really good at it and that kind
yeah.
of shit. I mean, they may just...
Like Will Hunting on Good Will Hunting.
Same
like,
kind of thing.
He was real fucking terrible at human interaction.
Right.
And he reacted violently.
Right. You just beat the shit out of people, but at the same time, he could solve any math problem that nobody else
exactly.
could.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. And... Another example
or
of someone
Rain
who,
Man, and that's not quite the. Is that a spectrum?
That
or
was
not? That's
a,
something
well,
else.
Well, that's
the, debatable. Whether
the
it's
jury
a,
is still out on that because okay. at the time it was groundbreaking to show someone like that in a movie, especially Dustin Hoffman and Tom Cruise, two of the biggest movie stars of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And he won an Oscar for that role and all that, but like, it's not accurate. That
okay.
was they called him idiot savants or autistic
right.
savants and whatnot. He had a whole host of things you could diagnose him with.
How about you
because he could still communicate, but then he would shut down and wouldn't do this. That like those are all symptoms of various types of spectrum disorders, but it's not one specific.
That was some of the people that can just hear a piece of music and just duplicate it without even knowing how to read music
yeah.
at all. What is
that's
that?
That's a type of savant, and that also would fall under
on a spectrum.
The disorder is kind of where people get hung up on because it almost sounds like negative.
Yeah.
But that's that we're talking like when you say disorder, meaning the order would be a normal human being would have to learn. Someone with an average or normal functioning brain would have to learn how to play the piano, learn how to read music, compose that, get good at it, practice. That's the normal order. The disorder comes into play where something about their brain works differently than than the average.
And usually and they lacking can do in that. Other areas.
And sometimes lacking in other areas. And sometimes not at all. Like I've known people that are actual true savants that have no spectrum disorder whatsoever. They have no disorder. They're just a savant. I've seen like the brain is so so little of the brain activity is understood.
And they do study some of these people to try to figure out how
absolutely
like what's active right now that their person. Have you seen the one thing where there was this? I think this is years ago though. This one example of this, it was a belief female. Let's call her 20 years old, or maybe 15 or 20, and she could take a lump of clay and then sculpt a horse.
Yeah,
like in a handful of minutes.
Yeah,
and it was like this beautiful sculpture, like of a running horse, and it's like. And she just
from memory.
Like,
just,
how do you do this? Well, you just something like you take away everything. It's not a horse. That's these other thing. Or you just make it look like a horse. Or that's what.
And they don't
the
know
she,
how
that's
you.
It. I don't know. Is that okay? Like they're almost questioning. Oh yeah, that's pretty good.
Questioning the quality of it. Like no, it's anatomically correct. You even have a giant cock on there too.
Like there's nothing even on there that looks like a little bit out of proportion. It's like everything. It may be even artsy fartsy looking, but you know what I mean. It looks like a running horse that you could. And you'd want to buy that as a beautiful piece of sculpture if you were into horses, kind of thing.
But
you,
she have may you seen have that. She may, I haven't.
If I may look for it and find it, and you'll go, Jesus.
And she
Christ.
Probably has problems with her credit or related, like
or a
interpersonal
lot of
relationships
stuff.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, like that. So the gate program. Anyway, I was talking about the elementary. But I went to other than that elementary school. I went to like three different ones.
Right.
And all three of them were very old.
Are we getting back to where you got to announce what was for lunch?
Yes.
We're going to bring this around.
And I never got to do that.
Oh.
Never once got to do that. With this golden voice, are you kidding me? Like wiping your ass with silk?
Why did they not have you? Maybe they didn't want to embarrass everybody else. You'd be up there at the golden microphone.
That's it.
We want Joe. Yes, say like, a little slower, Joe.
Had I been able to do that, I probably would have impressed Casey Black.
Yeah.
And she would be Casey Black Fellers instead of Casey Black DeSantis.
Right.
It's fucking bullshit, dude. I feel like the Troy City Schools, Haywood Elementary specifically, held me back.
Applesauce. With chocolate or plain milk.
You have your choice of chocolate or plain milk. Your mom will never know. She gave you 35 cents for your milk.
Don't tell her.
We won't. I would love to be able to read announcements now. Like I think
all the
like,
kids would love that. And the principal, whoever the a microphone person, go, you're not going to come back.
You
here
cannot
again.
Come back on
you're
here.
Not
no,
gonna.
You can't do that. You just there are now 14 females in the listenership that have started puberty.
Right,
you can't do that.
They went from nothing.
What
to,
I'm only 14.
Boobs the
yeah.
last 30 minutes.
Oh my god, I did some voiceover. I did like a narration for a couple plays, and it was after my
like
voice
background
changed.
Voices. While
yeah,
you're doing
yeah.
Because
I did
between
like,
sets
in drama club. I did I did like production, like back of the house in lighting and sound for like.
I did set work.
18. I did some of that too.
Yeah.
It was like 17 or 18 performances from 7th grade through 11th grade.
Mm-hmm.
There was one where there was supposed to be a narrator voice and my voice had changed.
Oh.
And I was one of the only boys whose voice had changed. I was like 14.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was the only boy whose voice had changed that was in the drama club.
Okay.
And so they had me do voiceover work for,
nice.
Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. I think that's what it was. Meanwhile, back at the cabin, I think it was Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Anyway,
okay,
but
that
was
a fun thing to do.
I remember my the drama teacher. She was actually the drama like coach for the after hours thing. She was the drama teacher for the high school, but I was in eighth grade. I was in junior high still, And she's like, you have a natural gift with that voice. You need to get into something where you use that. So shout out to Miss Ferris finally doing something with that voice.
Right, here we are.
And here we are.
Yeah, but we had a podcast long before most people did. So
that is true. Before it was cool, man.
Or before it's not cool.
And yeah.
Like, what did Dave Attell say? He goes, I'm the last comedian not to have a
podcast. Or fuck it, man. Yeah, folks, if you get a chance, watch the new Dave Attell special.
If you don't know who he is, he was very popular in the 90s.
Like, the last special he had was not on a streaming service because they didn't exist then. There was no streaming services then. I think his last special was like 2007 or something.
And then the special came out. Oh my god, I used to love. And he did not disappoint. So I don't know if the humor still holds. If you're younger, you know, if you're in your 20s, like this guy, that's not relevant anymore. This sucks. Or it's still fucking funny. I don't know.
I thought it was funny as hell. Yeah, it was very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Elementary schools. Dave Were your Attell. Elementary schools? Do they have the fallout shelter?
Oh, yeah.
Sign on the side? Yeah. And I asked Portia about that. She goes, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then I realized...
I think the halls were built really strong for tornadoes as well as nuclear weapons.
Right, which we had the same thing because Wright Patt Air Force Base was real close by and we're in Tornado Alley just like you were in Texas. And the like fallout...
There were numerous tornadoes. I remember, but they never came by and ripped up the school. They weren't even that close. We had tornado warnings where you had to go in the hallway.
Yeah, absolutely.
And put your head
and
down
drills,
against the wall. And
tornado drills.
Right.
Oh, my God. I forgot about going into the hallway.
That's what we did.
Did you guys have the siren that went off the third Wednesday of the month? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Did you get a fire drill. Do you go outside and line up?
Oh, God,
they still
yes.
do the fire drills at the school?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I do know that... here's a funny story from April 20th, 1999. Do you remember why that date is significant?
1999, April 20th. 4/20/99. No.
That was the day of the, oh my God, the shooting, the fucking, the high school.
Oh, in Colorado?
Yeah. Was it Aurora? No, that's.
Nope.
That was, Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot it. That sucks.
Wow.
I finally aged out. I can't believe I fucking forgot about the.
Clementine. I know it's not Clementine. I know that, but it's something like that of this hard C.
Columbine. The Columbine High
Same
School.
Same syllables.
Yes.
C, Clementine, Columbine. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank
Got
you.
It.
The guy who's actually older than Joe Biden finally remembered something. Yes, thank you. Yeah, Columbine shooting.
Clementine,
was
Colorado.
Not even like 2 days later, someone called in a bomb threat or a school shooter threat or something to Kingman High School.
Oh, okay.
And
because it's funny, because that's funny.
Funny, haha. Mm-hmm. Well, there was no... There was no evacuation procedure or close down or lockdown procedure, nothing like that. So they just did.
It's true because you don't have tornadoes here. You don't have to go hide your head from tornadoes.
And there was no active because the active shooter thing wasn't really a thing.
There was a defense facility nearby. I mean, that's coming nuked.
Right.
There's no nothing.
There's nothing. And there's nothing. There used to be nothing around KHS. Like there was fucking. It looked like a prison off in the middle of the desert.
Kind of was, right?
It definitely was for me. Mm-hmm. So we just did fire drill evacuation procedure,
so you have to
which
do
was
those.
Bad because there are a ton of parents who were pissed about that later on.
Because
one of the school shootings that happened, I think it was in Arkansas a couple years prior, the kid pulled the fire alarm and then was up on the roof. And,
oh, great.
And
you just line them up
and shooting,
and shoot them down.
Picking people off from up there with a rifle.
Like a fucking video game.
So people
game.
Were pissed about that.
Yeah.
Which, understandably, but they had 2 days from the time this major tragedy happened where there were people still in the hospital dying of gunshot wounds.
Columbine.
Within 2 days of the Columbine shooting. Mm-hmm. And I remember Linda was, because the way they did fire evacuation at Kingman High School, a lot of the people went off to one side, which is where the buses lined up on one side of the school. Well, from the end of where the buses line up in the asphalt, from the curb to the fence was only about 10 feet, and it was a dirt berm. So you had like 150, 200 students all lined up over there. Mm-hmm. Everybody else got evacuated all the way across the parking lot to the football field, which was only about maybe 400 kids, and you had all of like football field and a baseball field just to relax. I took a nap in the sun because we were out there for like 3 hours in April in
Sure,
Kingman.
Might as well.
And fuck, man. That happened like 3 or 4 times from April 20th until May 27th or whatever when I graduated high school.
Wow.
So in a month, a little over a month, it happened like I think four
there
times.
There were threats, you're saying.
Yeah, there's fake threats. People thought it was funny or whatever. Yeah. But they had to treat every threat as credible.
Sure.
But I remember them trying to. I don't know if they ever did figure out a way to evacuate or to do a lockdown. I'm sure they have lockdown procedures. I know they do in the elementary and middle school because I know that there was a couple times when Portia was in school. I think that she got locked down.
Yeah, I don't know why maybe they are now, but I don't know why the doors aren't reinforced like with Kevlar, and you can lock them fucking. You just lock the door. We're in here now.
They have those. Some of those have been installed, not Kevlar doors, but doors that are. They're all fire doors now.
Sure.
Now the school, like fuck, the schools that I went to, like the one in Ohio when I first moved back there from Arizona,
mm-hmm.
was Newton Elementary School, and it was Newton School. And Newton School is in Pleasant Hill, Ohio, which is every bit as small as you think it is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have a... I think now it has a traffic light or two. But when I went there, it had a blinking light, and there was a statue in the center of town. So it was a Civil War memorial.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to drive around it. Like, it was fucked up. Anyway, Newton School back then was a three-story building that had kindergarten through 12th grade in it. It was a little farm school, okay. Right?
Yeah.
And that school, when I first, I was like, why are there always guys working down in the basement and then on the first floor? And then they would slowly move through and then come to find out it was asbestos that they were removing. While we were in school.
Sure.
Like how I didn't develop asbestosis or some shit or maybe I just haven't yet.
Right.
That's fucked up. And that I remember I was like, what's a fallout shelter? And my mom she's like, well. There, you see, honey, there was the Cold War. And then later on I found out, and then the next school I went to was Haywood Elementary.
There's still,
I
don't know if Kingman has any, but I know like downtown Square of Marietta, for example, like which was the library at some point, whatever, you see the sign on there. And there's, and you could just, with the Republic, the Republic things that you would just go, oh, just run in there if World War III starts. But between me living on an Air Force base when I was a kid and then Texas with tornadoes, fire alarms, and whatever, I would say I was fairly regimented. Everybody, I got this. You know, you guys can do the drill. Like, it was like, no problem. We'll just go here and hide our heads. Let's line up out here. Like, it was like we were all reasonably – we'd follow instructions fairly well as little kids.
Yeah.
You know, it was never really chaos. You know, no one ever really ran around like a bunch of idiots or something like that and got in trouble.
Do you remember line leaders? Did you guys have that? Line leaders. When you would have to line up to, say, go to, like, music class or go – to PE or something in elementary school.
I think
school.
So, yeah.
And they would pick the like one girl and one boy and everybody would line up behind them and they were the line leaders.
Oh, yeah.
It was like a leadership
thing. Everybody
behind
Paul right now.
Yeah. Yep.
Great.
Yeah. Cool.
We had school safety patrol. We had that where you were out to like to make sure people didn't run around like a bunch of idiots, but we didn't have any authority.
Narcs.
But
You're fucking narcs.
But you had to wear there was a kind of a white thing and a thing and a...
Do you look like a NATO soldier? They have like a
kinda
white
like
hat
that,
and a white sash.
I don't remember if they made you do it or you volunteered or they thought, well, your grades are good enough to do.
So
okay, I'll do that.
Safety patrol for me in sixth grade,
mm-hmm.
safety patrol was like crossing guard.
Yeah,
and you had that.
I think
you
would help.
That's like you did that. That's what we did because there's a.
You know, I don't remember if we had an actual. You were doing that or there was a crossing guard, but you also helped the crossing guard. Or
no,
if you were the crossing.
You were
guard.
The crossing guitar. It was, and we called. Oh, they called you safety patrol.
Like across busy streets.
Yes.
Between asbestos and cars that
asbestos,
are dodging.
Yeah, asbestos. How many fucking? I'm not one of those people. That are, I remember when I didn't wear helmets and
Remember we were dodging
mine
cars.
Mine was all school sanctioned. They put me in a little, and I had an orange. Like
get out,
sash.
Get out there and play in the street.
Yeah, and a big stop sign.
Sure.
Like it's
great.
And I would, like, you just walk out there and stop and hold it and, like, all right, kids, come across. Like, all right, kids, as I'm fucking 11 years old, 12 years old, but I'm gigantic compared to the
Are these all the, like, you're letting the bunch of younger kids cross the street? Like, they're not your age? Is that what you're saying?
No, it was my age and
they
younger.
Were your age.
Yeah,
okay,
and
gotcha.
You did have to have certain grades and all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I can't believe I volunteered for that. I'm like, oh, let's see. I moved into a town that I hadn't lived in since I was a baby,
right.
And to go to an elementary school, the last year of elementary school, with a bunch of people that have been friends for the past 6 years,
right,
7 years, right, and so what am I going to do? I'm going to be the class narc. I'm going to be a fuck on safety patrol.
Yeah, but one thing
I don't know what I was.
I do remember
thinking.
This though. I remember you got to see all the cute girls you liked, like the time they always crossed the street. Now you're becoming a stalker.
I mean, right?
When
like,
you're
you
10 years old.
You control when they cross the street. Like,
right. Hold on a minute.
I'll be missing you. Like, oh, my God. I do remember that was because Casey Black, she did something after school like 4 days a week. And when I was, because I, you know, I wouldn't get home. I was like 30 minutes later than everybody else, you know,
because
of school, because
had to
safety
put the stop
patrol
sign away and everything.
Yeah, I had to go put hang all that shit up in the basement.
Right.
She and I would walk, not all the way home, but like we would walk like, it was probably like 5-6 blocks from the school to where I lived. And it would walk like 4 blocks. And then she would cross the street and go up 4 or 5 blocks to her house, and I kept walking home. Mm-hmm. And that's how, like, I got to talking to her.
Yeah.
The now current First
Lady of Florida. That's how you would say that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What, nice. So strange. Yeah, just fucking hitting on girls in uniform. Girls, ladies love a uniform, even if it's a bright orange sash and a stop sign. Oh, and I had a badge.
No, I remember the badge, too.
I remember having
a badge, too.
Yeah. Like, I had, like, I was deputized. Like, I was going to arrest kids or something.
Right.
I'm like, oh, no. Come here, boy.
Yeah, I don't know how they, I don't remember a lot of people being unruly, though. They more or less paid attention and did what they were supposed to do. You know what I mean? I don't remember them, you know, people just being out of control and not controllable. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Most of the people kind of cross when you're supposed to and didn't cross when you weren't supposed to. And
yeah,
I don't remember a being a problem, you know, of
no,
like, oh my God, I can't do it. Everybody's doing what the fuck I want to do, and I'm not going to do this. You know, I don't remember that.
No.
Most people kind of were.
Yeah.
Probably doesn't work today. I'm just wondering if it would work today. Do they still have like a safety patrol for elementary schools?
I think adults do. Well, I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Either. I don't hang around elementary schools enough now.
I know that. I don't think many kids walk to and from school anymore.
I think you're right.
You know, when I would go and pick up Josh's kid, Lenny,
at the
elementary school, I never saw any of the kids, like, have to go to a crossing guard or safety patrol or anything. Like, I never saw anybody like that. I saw teachers that were kind of watching, but they also meter how many kids come out at a time.
Yeah.
It's like each class gets dismissed at a time. It takes like 15 minutes for the whole school to get out.
I would say at our elementary school, like, we didn't have any buses at the moment. You know, it was, there were enough schools around, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, and I would say that the vast majority, like in the above 90%, walked to and from school.
Right.
Or they rode their bike.
Right.
Which I did. I walked and rode my bike depending on if my bike was working or not. But it was, I would say
the majority of kids at my elementary schools that I went to all walked to school or rode bikes.
Yeah, I could look at that map.
I take that back, except for the country school, because only a handful of people lived in town because it was a country school. So it was like all the farms from around within like an 8 or 9 mile radius, it all went to that one school.
So they would ride their bikes maybe?
They would ride the bus. It was a fleet of buses. When that school got out,
so
it
all
was
the farming further out people would ride buses.
16, 18 buses because it was kindergarten through 12th grade.
Oh, that's right. You said the whole thing.
Like, I rode the bus and it took 45 minutes. About 40 minutes to get home. For me to get to my stop, and I was one of the last people. Yeah,
I would say they were.
I was like the last day of school, where I was, they would do the route in reverse.
Yeah, I don't recall a lot of kids in wheelchairs, but were there occasionally? And I know that they got a ride home. You know, they didn't push themselves home all the way. If I were,
even remember a wheelchair accessible bus until I was well into high school.
But I could, if you pull that same Google map up, I could say walked across the street. Right, that's the crosswalk.
Yeah.
Going right down that road and down this road here. And I could show you the house we lived at that I looked at all the Apollo missions from. I could show you that right.
It's
kind of
cool.
Yep, there it is.
Yeah.
I wonder how far that was. You know, it seemed like it was a pretty long walk, but I bet it had to be less than 2 miles.
Yeah.
It was probably like a mile, if I had to guess.
That elementary school I went to in Tucson, I was so little, but I just remember I had the run of the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to ride my bike or walk to school every single day, to and from school. And I remember thinking it was like a fucking journey, and it was not. It's probably not even 500 yards. It's
like back to it now, you're going, wow.
Yeah.
This is just.
Yeah, like I could almost jog there
and
not be too out of breath. It's not that far.
Mm-hmm.
But what it was, and it's still like this, there's this stretch of like an entire like city block that's completely undeveloped in between the neighborhood I lived in and where the school was. But it's still only just walk down the street like half a block, like four houses, turn left, and you can, from the turn, you can almost see the school from there, and it's just right there. But once you got past like a couple blocks of houses, it was all undeveloped tracts of land, and it's still undeveloped, and it's just
still now.
It's
you're
just,
saying?
Yeah, it's just bare desert.
Okay.
And we used to, I mean, there's fucking tree houses and shit. We would fuck around in there, ride our bikes, build jumps, break our arms, you know,
I do
shit.
Recall there was a good friend of mine. We'd ride bikes all over the place, but there was this one road that was Bedford Road or whatever it was, but there was one, I could even show you that, where this one intersection, this main intersection, just don't recall it, what it was now, but my friend lived further away than I did from that area, and he was forbidden to cross that road. It was kind of a busy street, you know, but of course, that means you're going to try to do that anyway because your parents said don't do it. So we did because we were out there playing probably putt-putt golf. Or there was another – I don't know. We did something on the other side of that road. And she found out about it. Like his mom found out about it. And, man, that was
– he was in deep shit.
Oh, he was really in trouble. For I told you. And I was hearing – I'm sure he got grounded and beat on. And
oh, yeah.
I don't know what the hell fucking happened
Cigarette burns on his arm.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, it's Texas was, in the 60s. I mean,
she was not happy that he had even thought about crossing that road.
There's a handful of those. There was like, I was not allowed to cross. Shit. Now I can't remember the Drexel. Is that what it was? I think that was the road. It was Drexel. Mostly because, and it was only a 2-lane road.
Mm-hmm.
Still a 2-lane road. But looking at it now as an adult and having driven on that road, there's no stoplight or stop sign for probably a mile. And people just, it's supposed to be 25 miles an hour. People definitely go 40 or 50.
Right.
It would not have seen a little kid.
Right.
And at that age, you can't really judge how fast a car is going. And it just was a bad.
And little kids are little.
Bad, and yeah. So. And just a bad fucking intersection. Mm-hmm. Or not even an intersection, just a bad road to cross. And it's still like that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Are we done?
I digress. Yeah, I think we're
done.
Might
be good. You got something you got to do. We can't tell everybody, but you got a thing coming up. You
got
to do.
I got a thing. I have an event.
You have a
and
thing.
And I have to do. I have a little planning mission tonight. Do, yeah. So
if we have a break and come back, it's not going to be enough time.
Correct. So I will. We will talk to you next week.
So I thought there was something coming up this week. I don't really know. Oh, First Friday is this Friday.
Okay.
Is it not?
It would be. I don't know that they're doing anything.
Not necessarily, but I believe that next First Friday, which is
May,
it should be pretty big because I believe that's when the whole kit and caboodle downtown. Yep. But people are still going to be probably out and about more than normal.
Which is,
this
now
Friday.
That I think about it, is going to be a mess.
It'll be.
Well, it's going to be a madhouse down there, but then there's also a rehearsal dinner for a certain someone's wedding.
Yeah.
Is the night before. First Friday.
You mean next month?
No, next month.
No, I think it's going to have, because right now they have the curbs poured, the sidewalks are getting poured.
No, I just mean the sheer amount of people and then having a
I see what you're saying. Not dirt, because there shouldn't be any dirt left at that point.
Right.
They should have all that done.
Like trying to host like a 50-person dinner at a restaurant downtown on First Friday after almost a year-long revamping of downtown. I can't wait for it to be done. It's going to be so
fucking cool. It's going
to be great.
And,
Anyway,
right. Okay, that's it.
Have a great week, folks.